Blog Talk Radio.
And hey, here we are again. We're back. We're on Think and Be Wise. We're talking to you today. We're coming to you live. We want you to think and be wise. We want to make better decisions. We want to be able to live a life that's worthwhile, full of meaning and our purpose. So welcome to Think and Be Wise. And today we're talking about independent women, period. Who needs a man? Question mark. Now that's a good question. Has social independence driven people apart? You know, does money really make that much difference? What does it mean to have a big old fancy house and, you know, no one to share and no one to care and no one to be concerned with, but I got my house, my couch, and my TV. And you know me, how does it feel to have a great car with no place to go and no one to ride along? And how will people live and let others live? Now, that's a life that one chooses to live. And have we become so high tech, but we're low touch or out of touch society? Where do we go from here? Even if, you know, it's real popular to be independent, of independent woman or independent man, but who needs a partner or who needs a spouse or who needs a man or a woman? Well, today we're sponsoring and we're standing on a new idea. Okay. And we're coming to you live. We want to introduce my great nephew. He's here to talk to us. This is a subject that him and I were talking about. And we've got Tremon on the line. He's going to be able to help us and give us some new insights on independent women and who needs a man. Good afternoon, Tremon. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. How's everybody doing today?
Yeah, we're doing good. We're excited about this thing, man. It's you know, we're talking about relationships and women, and so, you know, just share your heart. What is it that you want to share with the listening audience today about, you know, independent women?
I feel like in today's life, man, we got these women out here that they're so hyper-independent where they feel like they don't need a man. And they express this in a way where, you know, they're emotionally unavailable. But at the same time, they're entitled to wanting words of affirmation or acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. But, you know, they're in the sense that we're supposed to provide all of that in hopes of them to reciprocate. And instead of it being a more of a 50-50 or a, you know, we're investing into each other type of vibe. And so a lot of women aren't necessarily operating off of genuine real love now. It seems like they're in their kind of like hyper masculinity phase of, you know, for expressing their emotions, and, you know, they're putting on this mask first. And so, you know, oftentimes we're having to break down the mask, and you gotta go through trials and tribulations to find the real them. And then when you find the real them, it's like, man, I don't even know if I want to deal with you no more, you know? So it's like, man, if you're really out here trying to, you know, search for love, it's like you really gotta choose wisely and do it carefully, and, you know what you're doing, and have self-discernment, have self-love, because a lot of time you'll fall short and end up in a cycle or accepting things that you're less than and that really don't align with your morals. And so I'm just talking from experience. I've been dealing with a lot of older women lately. And it seems like with these older women that kind of go for younger dudes, they want to like feel empowered. They want to feel this control in the relationship. And for me as a man, like, I don't have a problem with my partner, you know, wanting to leave, you know, as an individual. But when it gets to a point to where, you know, they get to interjecting into the conversation and talking over you, or, you know, always wanting to kind of shut you down and not listen to understand, it's like, you know, are you necessarily respecting me and valuing me as a man and valuing the time, the quality time that I'm trying to bring to the table, you know, in these acts of service and, you know, physical touch and all these other things. And it's like, you know, when you're trying to, when you're a high value man, you don't have time to deal with women that aren't bringing to the table what you need, that align with your values. And so I feel like a lot of women that are in this hyper-independent phase where they feel like they don't need a man is because they're falling short of everything that they need to get a high-value man. So they're settling for less. They're settling for these other dudes that aren't necessarily high-value. And since they're getting the okey-doke, they're getting the gimmicks, they're getting the runaround, they're getting played by these other dudes that aren't of high value, then they give the bad rap to every man. And they go, oh man, these dudes out here is this way, they're that way. Every dude's a liar, every dude's fake. And they try to blame their past experiences and on the next person, or place it on the next person and project it on the next person, and not give us the benefit of the doubt.
That's you bring up a lot of good points there, and unfortunately, there's, you know, not a woman on the line right now, so maybe one would call in, but I'm forced to kind of speak up for the women because, you know, like Tupac say, you know, we all had a mother, and we all have, you know, relationships with women, and, you know, we don't want to just put them all down and kick them all to the curb because, you know, they unavailable in certain different kind of ways. But what I want to kind of look at, and, you know, being in a relationship, how does a person show, you know, that they're so independent that they don't need anyone? I mean, what do they do that, you know, brings that to mind, that they're emotionally unavailable?
I would say, as far as, you know, like a woman, they'll like, if you go out to eat with a woman, you know, usually if I'm asking a woman out to dinner, you know, that's going to be on me. I'm asking her out to dinner first, you know,
right.
It's not going to be like
right.
an entitled every time experience. But, if we go out to eat and she automatically tries to, you know, pay for the dinner, it's like, okay. She has kind of like this sense of hyper independence, like she's just expecting that I don't got it, or I'm not a gentleman, and I'm not going to court her in a sense of investing into this friendship or. You know,
this. Hold up! Breaks! Hit the brakes! Now that's a new thing for me. A woman, she goes out and she wants to pay. Huh? What? but you say she uses it as a point of control, though.
She does. She's using it as a point of control. Like, yeah, well, I don't even need you, you know, like, and I can essentially, you know, so basically what are you bringing to the table? And that's, and a lot of the time they want sex. They want you to bow down to them after that point. Like, yeah, I'll buy you basically. And you're going to be the little, you know, the little puppet on the strings, and I'm going to pull the strings, and, you know, you're gonna get some good nicky-nicky or whatever. That's the type of dude you are. You know, I don't fall for that, but I'm just saying that's usually the type of woman that kind of comes with that type of, like, yeah, I got a lot of money. I got real estate. You know, I got nonprofits and da-da-da-da, and they boast about it. They start talking about all their accomplishments and, you know, very, what's the word, they just start flexing, you know, they start doing side shows on you. That's what I call it. They start doing side shows on you. And I'd be like, oh, wow, this is very interesting. And the whole while I'm just kind of observing what type of, you know, demeanor and character the lady is displaying towards me.
Now tell me this. If in the beginning when you guys got together, was it a relationship that was talked about, or, you know, did you have any parameters, or – you know, were there anything agreed upon?
as far as women that I've dated that I felt that were independent women, how did it start?
They'll spend their money and they want to do, you know, the physical thing, but on a mental level, did you all connect about, you know, what we're agreeing upon? You know, did we get to a point of saying, you know, hey, this is just what they used to call it, a booty call. This is just a booty call. And so we just going to leave it like that, or was it a cut buddy or, you know, something like that where there is no agreed idea about, you know, how is this woman and man relationship going to work?
Right. And so that's the confliction right there. I mean, you know, in a lot of relationships that I've dealt with, like the woman, they'll say they'll want a monogamous relationship, but at the end of the day, a lot of them be doing their thing behind their back. So it's like in that independent woman that I've dealt with, they wanted me all to themselves, you know, and try to manipulate the situations or, you know, point out the things, the negative things that I'm doing, because they were projecting from the things that they were doing.
Now, there's a couple things too, as far as being honest, and being friends, because you say that, you know, there's I've experienced independent women. I've experienced women, man, I tell you, for so many years, and I still love them. Don't get me wrong. And I've even had women to literally try to take my life. Yeah. Independent women and follow me around the country and move in and so forth. So what I'm just saying is before, you know, we get into it too deep, I've set some parameters for a woman and I, if we're going to be together. And first of all, the first level is really, really simple, is to be friends.
Right. For sure. You can't be friends first and it doesn't make it to the next level.
And because the bedroom is only one room out of the house.
Right. Come on.
So, Mr. Leon, are you there?
Yeah. Yes, I am. And I'm enjoying the conversation. And, Tremont, I like a lot of things of what you're saying. And it's bringing to mind so many questions, and several of them that I want to address. I just want to give my background in that I have the experience of having to have grown up in a family dynamic where the woman, my mother, was more educated than my father. He was a laborer. My mother was a college-educated woman. She was a public school teacher. And from the outside, everything seemed to be fine and dandy until it got to the point where there was an argument 9 times out of 10 that my father would bring up. And that's when he would bring up the fact that my mother had a college degree, and he would always try to belittle her because he would always say things like, oh, you think you're so smart and you're thinking this and you think of that. And I think that came out of his own inadequacy that he felt because of her background. But
right.
My mother, being the woman that she was, she really played that role. She went to work. She brought more money into the house. So therefore, what she said went. It was the rule of the house, okay? And she said it and made it clear. Because I make more money, I will be the one that determines what happens and what we get in terms of furniture. And so we had all kinds of things that I was privy to, being their only child. But at the same time, my father, in his way of coping with that situation, he spent a lot of his time outside of the house at the back then they called it the beer garden, or, you know, he was out of the house at the club or at the bar. So so that dynamic was very the word I'm looking for, I guess, is you know, it was not necessarily healthy, but because he felt emasculated, she felt emasculated, and so it was just like this dynamic that wasn't really, and it went on for years and years and years, and so I understand what you all are talking about, but I also understand that it's not anything new, that this has been around for a long time, as long as there have been men and women together, because there has always been women who have been in a position where they have been able to provide and make more than a man. So it just makes
Trayvon, that brings up a good question. How do you feel about a woman that makes more money than you?
I don't mind. I feel like it's not about what a woman necessarily has in her pocket, more about like, or, you know, can we connect on a spiritual level? Can we connect, you know, on a mental level, you know, if, apart from the physical, because you can connect with a lot with any woman on a physical level. I mean, if it's good, but
when you're young, give it another 40 years. We'll talk again. But go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. But bring me back to the subject one more time.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about women that make more money than you?
Women that make more money than you.
Yes.
When you take them out and they have more money than you, because you made an allusion to the fact about going to a restaurant, and do they pay, or do they insist on paying, or how, you know, because they make more money, or how does that work? How does that work?
It really just brings it really boils down to is she about lusting for me, or is she about building with me? You know, because, you know, with the money, you know, depending on her character, either, you know, you deal with a nice, genuine, humble, caring woman who's willing to, you know, have a healthy relationship and play those things that I was talking about earlier. What was I saying about words of affirmation and acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, physical touch, and reciprocating all those things that all women want, then, you know, then we can go somewhere. Because it's like, if it's just a one-way street, then I'm about to turn around.
One thing that I want to include in our conversation at this point is that when we generalize about what all someone wants, be it male or female, it's not really all.
Mm-hmm.
It's our interpretation of that. And women really had to teach me, because I'm going to tell you honestly, I've had women that I was literally homeless for 2 years. And a woman who was formerly a client of mine, and we became a very close company. And when I left and came back to town like 10, 15 years later, that she was very instrumental in the year that I got there. And I was so messed up after marriage and divorce and no job and no place to live and so forth. Literally, one of my buddies let me sleep on the floor. But this woman, she put in 1 year about $20,000 cash in my pocket. And it really wasn't anything about just the money. It was about us caring and showing care. Now, it took time to get to that point, but it wasn't something that just came immediately or overnight. And the irony of the situation is that once it got to that one point, then you know, after that time where she was so instrumental in my life, then she disappeared and she actually stopped talking to me. So I don't think we can pigeonhole people. That's my point. because you never know exactly how they're going to show up in your life or how long they will. But if you had to talk to that woman today, what would you say to her? Because I would assume that you guys aren't together.
Yeah, so I was just dealing with a woman recently. And, you know, she, like, it really was based off of how she grew up with her father. But I could tell that kind of shaped her, that shaped who she is, that shaped who, you know, when he left, who she would continue to be. And, their childhood traumas is really what shaped her. And it was even shown through her mother, because I was introduced to her mother, and we all were sitting down around the fire pit, and they were just sharing grieving, because he had just passed, their husband, father just passed from cancer, not but 5 months ago, very, very, very recent. And so, you know, they were all saying like, oh, he would get on us about this. And now we're looking up saying, yeah, you can't say that now. Ha ha. Yeah. Fuck you. Excuse my language. But I just was like, wow, you know, you guys claim you love him so much, but yet curse him at the same time. I'm like, this is crazy.
Well, love and hate, they go hand in hand. See, a lot of people think that hate is negative, but hate is not negative. Hate is very positive, except it's destructive. It's positive and destructive, whereas love is redemptive and it's creative. And so if you got room for love, you got to make room on the freeway of love for hate on both sides. It's like hot and cold. It's the polarity of opposites. It's what creates earthquakes. It's the inside and the outside. And so one key that I found out about before you get in the bed and before you start taking their money, become a friend. Become a friend. Right. And like when Maya Angelou, she said, when people show you who they are, believe them. Believe them. And because I've learned that, you know, independent women who needs a man, well, that's for her to decide. Like you said, she had daddy issues. She had childhood trauma. I had daddy issues. I had childhood trauma. The question is, how do we resolve the interaction that's causing us pain? Because it's never what comes against us, but how we respond that's going to make a difference. In fact, Michelle Ndu Giocello, she did a song, and it's called Sensitivity. And she says, I know it's been hard since he went away, left you so sad, you cry every day. Let me kiss your tears and erase all your doubt. For you, I'm here. You won't be without. Don't need a man that'll give you money. Come on and let me show you just what you need, honey. Don't need a man that'll treat you funny. You need a man with sensitivity, a man like me. And she's female, okay? So I don't know, you know, about her gender identity and pronouns, because I found out the other day that I'm cisgendered, because, you know, I'm agreeable with, you know, what they pronounce me as a boy at birth, but other people have their own right and their own mind and their own choice. And so I just want to drop this knowledge on you, is that not every woman that come around you may need to be intimately involved. She might just need a friend.
Right. That's a fact. I definitely have a lot of friends that I don't have intimate relations with, and I can just sit and talk with for hours, and we go walk at the park or go swimming and do, you know, fun activities and go hiking and have fruitful, you know, conversations that really, like, are power conversations and high level conversations that don't just, you know, regard gossip or, you know, negative connotations.
And that's the key.
Yeah. And then that addresses what the subject about a matter is for today, about independent women who needs a man. Yes, a woman needs a man just like a man needs a woman, because it's the yin and the yang. It's the hot and cold, like you referred to earlier. It's the life and death. It's a balance, because, see, everything is about balance. So we need each other. And
no question.
When you don't have you, then that's when you start having these skewed personalities, these weird things going on. So you don't negate one for the other, but there's a place for each one of those personalities, because there are things that men bring to the table just by being a man. There are things that women bring to the table just by being a woman. And as human beings, it took a man and a woman to create us. So that means that a man and a woman is a part of us as human beings. So we should be able to experience each other and touch on all those aspects of ourselves, because there's an aspect of females in males and vice versa, because after all, according to the Bible, Genesis, that the woman came out of the man in the first place. So it's
that's the creation story, one of them. But biologically, all mammals, including humans, begin as women. And some of us develop into men. Now, that's truth about,
science.
Yeah, that's the science behind it. The reality is like with Jay-Z and Beyonce, where Beyonce had put out an album that wasn't real popular, but it was called Lemonade. And it was her mama and them that taught her how to make lemonade out of the lemons, because Jay-Z was doing, what Jay-Z was doing when Jay-Z was doing what he was doing, and, which was partly behind why Beyonce's sister jumped on him in the elevator, and I saw the video and so forth. And I've been in situations like that where a man gets jumped on by a woman and he can't fight her back because he's downright dirty and did some wrong. Now, I've been in both places, those shoes, and so I'm just going to tell the truth just like it is. But in the end, Jay-Z wrote another song and he came back with it, and he says, in one of the lines said, I promise, when I get back from Rome and I get back home, that I promise to be emotionally available. They have all the money that you could have possibly imagined, but they didn't have the comfort. They didn't have the care and the consideration and the kindness. Independent women who need a man. Who needs a man is a question mark. It's whatever she chooses to be. And so for you, we got about 2 minutes left, and just to wind up in a quick thought, how can you become more emotionally available from both of you? Take about 30 seconds.
I mean, man, like you said, being a friend first, and really getting to know somebody so you can figure out if you're able to deal with somebody when after you guys get intimate, you know what I'm saying? So.
Or even before you get in.
Yes, because you need to understand. You need to know what you're getting into before you get into it. That's the easiest way to put it. Know what you're getting into before you get into it, so that there are no surprises.
That's so appropriate. And as we begin to wind up here, I just thank you for sharing. And next time we take up this conversation, I'm going to make sure we have some women to come in here to represent the women a little bit better than I was able to do. And I know that if we're honest and we're being friends, and tradition plays a lot of role in it, history plays a lot of role in it, what I've been in the past. But I just want to leave this with you to the listening audience, is that history only lives in our mind, and it's mind over matter. When we put our mind to it, it doesn't matter, because we can think and be wise. We can think and know that there's some knowledge out there, but knowledge applied is wisdom. So even as we are preparing to wind up and heading out of here, I want to thank my guests, Trayvon Giovanni Mowat and Leon Von Brown. And next time, have women on the line,
yes,
even
sir,
as we go through this life, knowing that you can think and be wise. Thank you for listening. God bless you and keep you until we meet again.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah.